Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I'm your faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations, and look, the girls are here. We have started right on time tonight.
Whoops. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
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 Hi, you guys. How are you?
Hi, good. You?
Good.
Great. Great to hear from you guys. Great to be here. Yay.
Yep. We have a fairly short show, I think, tonight, though.
I think so, yeah.
Yep, another one.
Yep. There'll be more stuff starting soon, though, and I believe it's – I'm bad on my days. But, yeah, this Sunday, I believe, is – well, I know you don't watch it, AJ, but is Walking Dead is a new season. So.
Well, The Walking Dead is back on the 23rd, yeah. So,
yeah, I think that's why I said I think that's Thursday or Sunday. No, I'm saying
I think it is.
Day.
Yeah,
that's
Sunday.
Sunday.
That's back this week. Yeah,
there we go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to review. Yeah, but
until then, we've
so,
got
more to talk about. Right.
Yep.
And we only have two more of Doctor Who, so of the season. So I guess actually in a couple weeks it'll be back to what it was. So.
Yep. So all right. So tonight we've got Doctor Who. We've got Lock and Key. So what do you want to start with?
Well, do you want to start with Doctor Who?
Well, we always do, so why not? Yeah.
Sounds good. So I have good things and bad things about this episode. I liked it. I thought it was a good episode. It was a good kind of like, you know, spooky ghost story, haunted house episode. And I know they've done that before, but I like that part of it. I also like the Cyberman story. My thing is, I think that this would have been much better if they had made a story about, like, you know, the writers and everything in this ghost story, and they had made a story about the Cybermen. I feel like trying to put it together into a story didn't work maybe as well as it could have. Like, I don't know. It just felt like two completely different stories to me that they shoved together. Although I did really like it, and I did like how the Cybermen kind of inspired, you know, Frankenstein, and it made sense and everything. And they're good with their sort of historic stuff, and I liked that case, and I also liked it reminded me of how the ghost stole Christmas, like how they kept not being able to walk through more than like one room or whatever, and I think the whole idea of how, you know, things were going, perception type filter and all that were pretty cool. I don't know, overall I liked it. I just think it would have been better separate for whatever reason. I just think it would have came out a bit better, at least in my opinion. What did you think?
I mean, I agree with you 100%, but I felt like there was a story about the Doctor and her companions meeting, you know, Mary Wollstonecraft and these writers, which was could have been a very complicated story in its own right. And I think I'm getting a little, in this season, the Doctor encounters very, very many historical people. And I'm getting a little, I don't know. I liked it, but it's feeling a little like a thing that sort of overlaid on everything, right? But I agree with you. There was that story, which was kind of interesting, and then there was the Cyberman story. And I feel the same way you did, that they try to connect it. Like, there's actually a moment where Mary Shelley says, "You're a modern Prometheus."
Modern Prometheus,
which is,
yeah.
Which is exactly the whole story of Frankenstein, right?
Right.
And so
and
that's
I also
all put
know
together.
That one guy, Polidori or whatever, I didn't even know, but I knew he had to have been some kind of real person, because I know there was, in Postmodern Prometheus on X-Files, I knew there was the one guy was named Polidori and everything. I'm like, oh,
yep,
okay.
Yeah.
It was definitely someone, because I don't know a lot. I mean, I know who Mary Shelley is and who Byron is, but I didn't really know a lot about the other people. But.
Yeah, I didn't really know Polidori either. But then there's that whole Cyberman thing, which I didn't love entirely. First of all, because he wasn't really like a Cyberman, but then he turns out to be like not really like a Cyberman, right? And
yeah,
the Doctor, the Guardian, and there's this whole like he didn't, and he has memories of his past. He's really, and he does. First of all, he doesn't look like a Cyberman, which I have always kind of liked that the Cybermen are very sort of old-timey science fiction looking, and this guy had like a lot of his like human body that was showing, and he was, you know, and he had his memory, and he had his all. He was very different from the Cybermen that we've seen before, but he wasn't really, I don't know,
He wasn't exactly like the Spider-Man. But I thought it was interesting to have something different. And it looked like even looking at pictures after the fact, because it's hard to tell in the dark, I think it seemed like even his, like, metal suit was sort of a different design. And I read somewhere, I think they've changed some of it for the finale. I don't know. But so I kind of like that.
But...
I liked that he actually could talk. I mean, not that they can't normally talk, but they normally say, you know, very stilted. He still had some emotion, I thought was kind of cool. And, you know, I did actually, because of the way things do go a lot in the Doctors, when she's talking to him, like, oh, he saved the baby, you know, she's going to be able to talk him down. Because that's a lot of time what this show is. It's about using your brain instead of killing people, which is okay. I mean, to an extent. It depends how they do it. And then he's like, no, I killed my kids. And I'm like, well, I actually did not expect that. So I kind of liked how that worked, and it was interesting that he still had his emotions. And I don't know whether or not being a Cyberman made him go crazy. It seemed like he was pretty much already crazy. But I kind of liked that. And I also, the one thing I did like too, besides also the companions had more to do this time, which was nice. But I kind of really liked the whole, I don't know if you want to call it exactly a speech, but the Doctor scene at the end where she's like, you know, this is a flat structure or whatever, but it's not. And it's kind of like this thing that we sometimes forget about, is that the Doctor has a lot weighing on him or her, and that making that decision, although I don't know if I agree with her decision, which is neither here nor there, it's not easy for her to do that, and she usually has to do that alone. And she's kind of like saying, this isn't this easy thing where we just say, oh, let's save this person, or oh, let's save the world. Like, you know, if we save, if we don't save him, it could screw things up even more. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, too, that they didn't necessarily agree with her, just because it wasn't, I mean, they're not close enough, we've said that, but at the same time, I think with that, the fact that they weren't necessarily on board made it more interesting to me. But,
well, and you know, we did get a little bit of the Doctor that I've been kind of waiting for, and I've mentioned it several weeks, that I'm waiting for the Doctor had the moment, she's like, okay, I did this, but now I got to go fix it. And I got to go make it so the Cyberman is not going to come back. You know, I got to make it so he can't, like, restart the Cyberman race. And we had a little bit of the feisty, like, I'm going to, like, stop this shit, Doctor, that I've been sort of waiting for, right?
Yeah, I agree. Although I still kind of think, like, she probably shouldn't have done what she did in the long run. It seemed like it was more of a risk than just letting him die. But then again, she's done time travel and knows kind of what things can happen, and that, you know, it might have made more sense
but
to her
did
than to us.
Like,
but
we've had a very
hands-off
Doctor for a long time, right? And, I mean, I think one of the things we've seen from the past four or five iterations of the Doctor is that there is a bit of, like, emotion and passion where the Doctor sometimes acts rashly. You know, the Doctor makes, right, like, makes decisions based sometimes on feeling and does stuff, and I feel like Jodie's Doctor, we haven't really seen her make a big decision.
Right.
And I'm not sure this was it, but, you know, she actually says, like,
she's
look, you guys, don't come with me.
Yeah,
and she does, and she has made a decision to do, she makes a decision to go, like, let me take these coordinates, and if you guys don't want to come, don't come. It's going to be dangerous. You know, it's the first time she's kind of, like, she's being a little more honest with them. And they're like, whatever, we're in, right?
Yeah. My only question is, I'm wondering if certain things we're going to get this season or they're going to make us wait. Because kind of assumed through most of the season that the season finale was going to be like about the Timeless Child, and which it still could be, and maybe about that other Doctor. But I'm just wondering, with two episodes left,
I don't think so.
I kind of think in a way if they do that, it's going to be too much because it should be focused on the Cyberman. Oh, and then he did kind of, or she did, I'm calling her a he now, did kind of make a reference to, I assume, to Bill, if you caught that, about, like, losing people to the Cyberman.
Yeah.
So that was good. But yeah, I just don't know that they can fit all of that stuff into one episode. Like, it would make kind of more sense if it was just Cyberman, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. Although it kind of makes me, I don't know, I was thinking about it and kind of wondering, like, she was saying, I don't know why I'm calling her a guy now, but thing that you know, takes over their fear, their personality, whatever, I was just thinking how, like, some of them have been able to kind of, I guess, bypass that, I want to say, even when they've been Cybermen. And then other ones, it seems like there's no chance. Because we have, I know in the one, Rose's mother and that woman at Torchwood, like, kind of went against them. And obviously we have Danny. but it's
well,
kind
and
of
Danny, Danny
questionable,
retained,
but Danny
yeah.
was still humanish, though. Like, he must have been unfinished, too, maybe, in a different way. Although maybe this, quote-unquote, unfinished was, like, on purpose. Maybe for some reason they
Bill
needed
was unfinished
to leave humanity.
Time,
I don't
right.
know.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, Bill was different because she didn't even really know what she was. But, yeah.
I mean, so there's a thing going on here where the Cybermen are kind of, if the Doctor has, the Doctor's number one enemy is the Daleks, the Cybermen are maybe number two, right?
Yeah.
I mean, aside from, like, the Master or whatever, like, they're pretty bad. And, I don't know, in terms of whether you think we're going to see the rest of, like, the prophecy or whatever, I think that we got the lone Cyberman this week. I'm not sure that really worked for me. Like, I didn't love the way they played out the Beware the Lone Cyberman and took him what he wants.
Especially because she gave him what he wanted so quick.
Right? Right?
Yeah,
kind of gave him what he wants.
I'm surprised they brought him in before the finale a little bit. Other than I think they must have at some point kind of hinted at it, though, because I know when the Cybermen showed up, I was totally not surprised. And when they kept showing the glowing, it's like, I'm like, oh, that's the Cyberman. I don't know if I just figured that out or something they said made it. I think maybe they posted something like the episode was connected to the finale. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But
and next week's promo is,
really ruin
next
it.
Week's promo is Cybermanish. And I think this is going to be Cyberman. I think the Timeless Child is maybe in next season. I mean, I would hope Chibnall has a multi-season arc planned. I mean, I'm not,
really
you know, I'm still not sold. I didn't love this episode. I liked it. I agree with you that it felt like two storylines glommed in together that maybe could have been two separate episodes. I like that we're getting a little bit stronger Doctor, but I don't know. I don't love the Cyberman thing that's going on right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of a different Doctor Who right now.
It is.
You know, like, I don't feel, I still love the show. It's still my favorite show on TV. It just, it a lot of times feels different. Like, I don't want to say I don't feel excited to see it. I love seeing it, but it doesn't feel, it feels like a different version of the show, which isn't necessarily bad, changing things. I just think it's not quite going, I don't know, the way it could have. And like I said, I love the stories when they did all the shocks and that, but I'm still not clicking with the people, which is not good. I mean, maybe even if they probably won't, but I mean, they could bring Jack in and leave him there, and I think he'd fix a lot of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because at least, you know,
I have often felt like each Doctor, I can see the past Doctor's personalities, like the way each Doctor sort of has the old Doctors as part of him. And
yeah,
this
you can
doctor,
see 12 a little bit in the first episode she's in, but it doesn't stay long. At least I didn't think it did. I agree.
This Doctor doesn't feel to me like she's got the parts of the past Doctors in her. Which, look, I like to see an independent Doctor, but the Doctor, like, part of regeneration is that you bring all of your past with you. Now, this episode is the first time maybe we saw it. Like, I felt a little bit more of an old Doctor. Like you said, she's like, I'm not going to lose another person with Cybermen. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Like, and I liked that. I almost felt like it wasn't enough of a reaction to the way 12 was really moved by losing Bill. And the way Bill suffered. Bill suffered incredibly the way she was slowly integrated and fought the Cybermen, right? Like, it was really painful over many episodes.
I forgot about that. That's true.
And for the Doctor to say, like, I'm not going to go through that again, I appreciated it, but I might have wanted to see
maybe
more
as much
pain.
Reaction. And, you know, I think maybe that's a big part of it, though, now that you said that. If you think about it, she isn't as, I don't know that I necessarily want to say
feeling.
The word emotional. It kind of, but, like, she's more, I don't want to really say happy either, but she doesn't have, like, that, like, I don't know how to say it. Like, not emotional depths, but, like, heartache. Like there's something in them that's usually, like, them carrying the dark. Like you said about the other Doctors, like, carrying the darkness of their past and all the bad that's happened.
Yep.
And it's, like, I think it's also partially because she didn't remember it for a while because she sort of seemed to still be even lately picking up more and more about how it happened. But I think that's what's missing is that kind of, like, tie into that.
I mean, the way 12 was really emotionally broken by what happened to Clara and then Bill, right? Like, 12 was emotionally broken by what happened to his companions. But 11 and 10, were, I mean, broken by the companions, but broken by what happened, like what happened to Gallifrey, what happened, like, coming to terms with his past, that he was a killer and was the most hated killer in the universe, right?
Right,
Like, I feel like 13, we haven't seen her carry that, and then this week she carried it by being like, I'm not going to lose someone to the Cybermen, but, like, wait, like,
maybe
the Doctor in 13 lives has lost so much of the Cybermen, right?
Right, right.
And to have lost Bill, and, like, I just would have maybe wanted to see the Doctor see Cyberman and be like, to lose a breath or a step for a moment when you see a Cyberman.
Right, right, yeah, I agree.
I get that she said it, but, and maybe there wasn't time, because as you said, this was a smash-up with another historical. Jamie, I'm kind of getting sick of the Doctor having a historical moment every week, and I got to be like, wait a minute, who are these people? Okay, Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley writes, you know, she writes Frankenstein. And we gotta, like, every week now there's a big historical moment, and the Doctor does that, but the Doctor used to do two or three a season.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't really bother me. It bothers me a lot less than the sort of messages that are like you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
Those kind of things are a little more.
I just personally like
more,
my
but
historical stories to be standalone, like Monster of the Week stories, like a historical
right,
week
that's
story.
That's kind of what was weird. I think it just didn't. Like I said, I think it was two good episodes. I just think it should have been different episodes.
Two
I mean, it totally makes
episodes.
Sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes
I think
sense
you're totally
that he
right.
inspired Frankenstein, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they should have done something different. It might have been better. I don't know. Something. All right.
Well, and I think it wasn't necessary to make him literally look like a Frankenstein. Like, this is the first time we've seen a Cyberman have, like, partial human face. And he was like,
he was like
a Borg.
Like,
he looked like a Borg to
more
me.
More than one person. That's what confused
yeah.
me. She made that comment.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just for her saying he looked like Frankenstein or actually he was supposed to. I don't know.
I mean, he looks like the Borg or he looks like a thing that was stitched together from a bunch of things. And you're right. But, like, I guess
a little too literal. I guess
it was
more
a little too spoon-fed to Mary Shelley, right? Like, could Mary Shelley
mm-hmm.
have seen a full, like, the Cybermen tradition
we already
been,
got
like, full-on
right?
robots, right? Yeah, like
yeah,
we got it,
yeah.
she got it. Don't spoon-feed Mary Shelley; she's a freaking genius. We get it.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was kind of confused about, though, and I think this is partially with maybe me not knowing the history. I thought that only like she was. I mean, yes, Byron and them, but I mean. Like, she's the author. What I didn't understand is, I guess her husband's an author, too, or I guess he wasn't really her
yes.
husband, but
yes.
but Mr.
Yes.
Shelley, and I just never knew that. I didn't know that there was, like, an author of her boyfriend or whatever, because I was confused where, like, the writing was from him. That part, I'm like, I must not know something, obviously, about history. So,
Mary Wollstonecraft married Percy Shelley, and they were both, like, literary geniuses of their time, but she sort of created the Gothic horror novel, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Although
I know
Dr. Pollitary may be legit. But he's more like a poet, yeah. But
yeah,
to
Byron,
say that he...
Byron,
yeah. And then they were also friends with... they were friends with all these, like this whole gang. It was like a sleepover party of the greatest hits of their era, right?
That's funny, yeah.
She married a genius writer.
Sorry, I was just going to say, the other thing is, when they found out that the one guy was, like, sleepwalking, it was obvious he was sleepwalking, but see, I thought they were going to go something like they couldn't move because they were part of his dream or something, and I thought that's where it was headed, and, like, that would have been more interesting to me, and then just had the Cybermen in the finale, but,
well,
because
in the end, he finds this little glob of mercury in the water. I mean, it was very much like Gollum picking up the ring, in a sense, right? Like, he reaches
kind
his
of,
ring.
Yeah.
He reaches
kind of,
the water, he finds his gem, it corrupts him, and then someone has to save him. It's a little different than Gollum.
Yeah,
but
corrupted him. It didn't make him evil, it just made him kind of hide, and he had to take care of it. But
I mean, I don't know,
that's sort of what Jack
him.
Said.
Yeah.
We just don't know who the Alliance is or anything else yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now I guess the only other big question is, who are the ghosts that Graham sees and why does he see him? I kind of just took it as that was part of the ghost story, and they were ghosts. It really didn't... I don't know. I really didn't focus on that, but I know a lot of people are like, you know, what do they mean? I don't know that they necessarily mean anything. They don't need to me. So I don't know.
I mean, there was so much going on that I didn't feel like it really meant anything either. Although you're making me think that last week we talked and you suggested that you think, is there room for three companions next year? And will there be a reduction of companions, particularly since it looks like maybe they don't all want to stay and be companions? Will Graham be the one to stay, right? Like, Graham had this discussion of who's going to stay. I'd be okay with it also. And now Graham maybe is the, you know, he has a, it's funny because, like, there have been a couple weeks in the past where you talked about Graham being the companion with less to do, and this week Graham is the companion with more to do.
Right. He also has less to go back to, too. Like, most of the people, they want to get away, you know, and that's why one of the reasons, that, in a sense, that they stay with the doctors to, you know, escape and everything and have their own adventure. But, I mean, Ryan obviously isn't totally satisfied with being gone. And, I mean, there's been mention before of Yaz missing
Neither
her family.
Neither has Yaz.
Like I said, not that I don't like them, not that I'm sure they're not enjoying it, but, like, I can feel like they might want to get back to their lives, where Graham, he's going to go back and just be sad. Now, not that he doesn't have Ryan, but I don't think Ryan needs him.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Ryan...
Ryan needs to get out on his own,
I don't know how old he is, but he's an adult, you know, he's okay, and, and he would just go back and be sad about his wife, and, like he said, he didn't want to be home in that one episode because it was just, like, depressing. So I could totally see that, although I would like if Jack would join... But I would love that too.
Well, I think we'll see him again. I think we'll see him by the season finale, of course.
Yeah, I think we'll see him, but I don't think he's going to, like, be in it a lot. I think he's more like, you know, just
no,
a little,
he's not
going to,
like, be the companion. He can't be. First of all, Jack cannot be a companion because Jack is he's a huge character. He needs his own show, which is not going to happen.
Well,
but,
he had his own show. Unfortunately, they were dumb and canceled.
Well, yeah, he
did. That's a whole other issue.
Yeah, Sherlock. Yeah. So, all right. We're on this for 20 minutes, so maybe we'll move on to the next show.
Yeah, sounds fine.
And should that be Lock and Key?
Sounds good.
All right,
okay,
so I watched the whole show.
I still didn't see it, so.
I know. So I've seen the whole thing now.
So what did you think?
You know, I enjoyed Lock and Key. I think it's a good show. I think that it is not... you know, when I knew it was Joe Hill, and Joe Hill previously we watched Nosferatu was written by Joe Hill also, which is a much darker and a little more adult kind of show. And I said it last week and I'll say it again, having watched the whole show, it skews a little bit younger. Like, I think it's I talked to a friend of mine who has a kid who's like 9 and one who's like 7. And I said, I think the show is not really super scary that you can't watch it with kids, but there's some bad language and there's like one sex scene, which makes it not a show for 7-year-olds and more a show for 12-year-olds, right? Or 15-year-olds or whatever. It's not a fully grown up show, but not a kid's show. I liked it. I enjoyed the kids who were in it. I really enjoyed Connor. The kid who played Ben on Falling Skies, who plays the older brother, Tyler, and his name is Connor. Oh, God, I gotta Google him. Connor Jessup.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good, and I think he's really grown as an actor. I don't want to disparage his acting on Falling Skies, because Falling Skies was, I mean, it became a...
Because Falling Skies was
like
good.
The show in the beginning,
the
show had a lot of problems in the end, and he had material they had to deal with, and his character was sort of like whatever, and he was a kid trying to act against CGI. I think that he's really good. I think all the child actors are very likable, and I enjoyed watching them. I like it. I had some – so we'll talk about how it ended. I have some I had some surprises at the end of it. I think it was kind of good. I liked it. You know, it's a show about kids who find magical keys in their house.
And like I said, it's kind of you get kind of the sci-fi fantasy, but you also get like the drama. And like I said, it didn't bother me, the team drama. I still liked it. I thought it was a good story, and they were, you know, interesting characters. It did. I've said from the beginning, I think that I might have enjoyed it even more if it had been more for an adult audience. But that didn't make me not like it. It just, I think I would have liked it more. But I like how, you know, there wasn't necessarily a key per episode, but I like how, you know, they kind of moved through the keys and found the different things that they did. I think the fact that, and AJ, if you do want to see it, you might want to, like, you know, mute for a couple minutes, because I'm going to say now kind of is a fairly big spoiler. But I was going to say, I was kind of surprised by the fact that when Kinsey removed her fear, I really thought that that would sort of be something that would end up not a good thing. And not that it didn't cause problems, but they kind of left it like, okay, she's okay that she doesn't have that. And yet she obviously was still scared of things. So I don't know. That kind of made me think it was weird because I felt like she didn't quite exactly get rid of her fear, but at the same time it should have caused more repercussions when she did. So
I
don't
really
know.
I really, really agree with you that in the beginning when she lost her fear, there were some consequences. Like she loses her fear and then she starts to treat people like crap because she has no social
fear,
right?
Yeah, and that makes
sense. Like she starts to,
right.
That makes sense, but and then she takes her friends down into the sea cave and they almost all die. And so now there are some more consequences of her fear, but she doesn't really get it. And I agree with you that, like, I enjoyed the subtle consequences of losing her fear, but I felt like there should have been way bigger consequences of losing her fear.
I figured at the end she'd put her back, but she didn't. So that was kind of surprising to me.
Well, and she only does it in a way to set a trap for her enemy, right? She doesn't, like, ever bring her fear back because she understands that to be a human being who lives in the world, and I need fear, right? She only does it when she's laying a trap for Sam. Sam is the guy that tries to kill them, right?
She goes out there and digs
her fear up, but she actually doesn't have any regret and doesn't really want to bring fear back into her life.
Yeah, and I feel like
except
not
in that moment.
Not that this is a kid show, I don't mean it, but I feel like there needed to be some kind of lesson there a little bit that it did cause an issue. So I was definitely surprised about that.
Without fear would be a kid who drives like crazy or drinks a lot or tells.
Right.
Like, she just had no consequences from that. Her act, that's the most extreme action probably in the entire season.
Yeah, and the thing is
she
seems like at the end to be more of a more fully full person again. Like she was obviously
without
more
ever,
at the end, and she never got her back, so that was kind of strange. The other thing I was going to say that I was kind of confused by is the one kid that she ended up with when she was upset over. I don't remember his name.
Or Scott. Gabe and Scott are the two boys that she likes.
Scott's the one she liked first, right? Or am I mixing them up?
Yeah, Scott's the boy, the English boy that she liked first.
Right. Okay, then Gabe. I'm confused after watching the end, like, at what point he became not Gabe, or if the whole time it was supposed to be not Gabe. I'm trying to say things without completely spoiling
it. Well,
you
can spoil it. If anybody hasn't watched it, they should not listen.
Yeah, I know.
At what point did Dodge become Gabe? Makes no sense at all, right? We never saw that. And they make it sound like Dodge was Gabe. When you see the flashback, it looks like Dodge was Gabe from the jump.
The beginning, yeah.
Like from the minute they hung out.
She changed her identity because I think the one key she'd gotten was supposed to be, I'm trying to think, at one point was the identity key. They had mentioned it. But the other thing is, see, I had looked up, like, the comic and stuff. I know one of the keys in the book, which I don't know if it's the same key or not, but this is one that can make you change gender.
Oh, Jamie, I lost you. I can't hear you.
Whoops. Sorry, are you there? Sorry, I leaned on the phone.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was.
You said it sounded like one of the keys in the book.
Yeah, it was to switch gender. And I don't know if that was supposed to be the same as the identity key or not. Because, see, I had thought at first that she had used that to become, and I can't remember his name. I'm not looking at a character list right now.
Lucas,
but,
the boyfriend Lucas.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Because Lucas,
I
yeah.
thought he, at certain times, looked kind of a lot like he could be like a male version of that actress. Like,
yes.
They kind of looked like
yes.
they could have been brother or sister or something. But that
they
had
did,
to do
yes.
with the Echo, but that's where it was kind of confusing because, like, she brought him back, but yet he was also Dutch. I keep wanting to call him Dutch. There were certain things like that to me weren't super clear, but maybe if you read the book, it would make slightly more sense. Like, I know that that woman that was Lucas's girlfriend, she left a key for her, which from what I could tell from looking at stuff was the well key, but I don't understand what that key ever did. I missed that, too. So I don't know. There's certain little bits like that. Maybe there are things that will come up if they have another season, which I do hope they do. I want to see more. But
I do. I mean, there's a bunch of unclear stuff. Like, and stuff that, I mean, some of it made sense, some of it didn't. Like, so from the beginning of the season, I felt like the idea that, like, Ellie was still pining for her high school boyfriend. So Ellie's high school boyfriend, supposedly he drowns, and 25 years later, she's almost unable to function in life because she's still pining for her high school boyfriend. And I thought that was a little, like, didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, later we find out that she actually saw her boyfriend, that Rendell, like, bludgeons her, Lucas to death, and she sees him killed because he became crazy. You know, we see what happens. And I get that she would still be maybe fucked up about that, but the idea that she is unable to move on at all. She's the only person really in the whole storyline, because Rendell moves on. They all move on. She's unable to move on with her life from losing Lucas, which I guess people get stuck, and that's what enables Dodge to that role, right?
Yeah.
But I agree with you that I don't really see when Dodge became Gabe. I mean, we see in the whole back end how Dodge is Gabe running around, but, like, when did that really happen? And how did Kinsey fall for it?
Yeah, but I'm also kind of wondering, thinking of it, though, too, maybe I'm just misremembering. Where exactly did... Was there a Dodge at the beginning? Because what I'm remembering thinking about the flashbacks is that whatever it is went into Lucas in the first place. And that was, I thought, when they locked whatever it was down in the well. So I'm not sure
Lucas
how it got...
Lucas got shot by one of those lava blobs when they opened the door, right?
No, right. And he became possessed, whatever.
Dodge.
But
he
I guess
Dodge,
I'm saying,
really. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I missed something about how it went from being in Lucas to being, I mean, Lucas died, to being Dodge. That's what I said, unless maybe it was supposed to be that he used the identity key somewhere else and that's why he became Dodge. That's
well, that's
a
good point, because Dodge is an identity thief, right? Like, Dodge can only use the key to assume identities. So how did, if Rendell beat Lucas to death,
where did
how
Dodge
did
come
Dodge
from,
continue to live? Yeah, yeah.
Unless
I mean,
it was
maybe
just another person that took over.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's definitely interesting questions, and I think some of them may be further explored, I would think. But, yeah, I don't know. All in all, I think it's a good show. I just would like things to be a little
more
clear in certain points.
I like the kids. I think that I normally would be positioned to hate Bodhi, the youngest kid, Bodhi, who's a very precocious 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And yet I find he's a very likable character, and it's one of these shows where the youngest kid is the one who makes the most sense. He's like, older brother and sister, you're being crazy.
Right.
Listen to me. The little kid knows, right?
Yeah.
I kind of liked him.
I like
how he
stabbed her with the lightsaber, too, that, like, lit up. That was funny.
Oh, yeah. How'd you like the mother, the alcoholic mother storyline?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I feel like I would have connected with it a bit more if maybe she remembered some of the things, which I guess that was also unclear to me is I know that Ellie said that they found a way to remember. I don't know if that meant they found a way to remember because they kept the keys or because they made those marks on them. That was another thing that I think was kind of not specifically
said. Because their mother can't remember, but so many other adults do remember. So it doesn't really make a lot of total sense.
Right, that core group remembers. No other adults remember.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
Well, they were key people,
But the thing is the fact that... I can't think of his name, but Aaron Ashmore. The fact that his character
Uncle Duncan. Yeah.
His character didn't remember specifically because they removed the memories. So...
Right. That was
they
cool.
Never, the rest of it, yeah, but the rest of it, they were pretty too, those glowing jars. But the rest of it, they sort of didn't, I was like, well, was it because she was older, you know, or was it just everybody forgot? It was sort of, left a bit open. I know, and some of those questions, I don't know you necessarily need answers to them. I know that we tend to nitpick and, you know, pull the little threads.
You're right.
But, I mean, none of the questions were really anything that was necessarily like, I have to know. I do want to know what happens next. I mean, other than that.
Well,
but,
how did you like the ending? How did you like the way it falls out? Like they throw Dodge into the door, and then immediately is it Dodge who they and it's all told in flashback. And what do you think about A, what happened, and B, the way they told it in flashback.
Yeah. Well, I had kind of figured earlier on that something was wrong with what they were doing, and they kept saying, you know, it doesn't feel right. I don't know why it kind of took me longer than it should have to realize it wasn't her and, like, what was wrong, I guess. For whatever reason,
mm-hmm,
I just
mm-hmm.
wasn't connecting
yeah.
the dots. I kind of like that they did that. I'm not sure why they necessarily, but again, you know, I don't know the rest of the story, so I can't really answer that. But I don't know if they necessarily
yeah.
had to have a second person get hit. And obviously Gabe or whatever was just, I guess, because she changed identities. But obviously they did have her get hit, so I guess that's more of you have to wait and see what happened. But
I
feel bad for Ellie. Like, what
school,
is this
yeah.
place she's going, and will we see this place? Like, I'd like to see
yeah.
that from her point of view, too. It would be kind of interesting. But
yeah, so I didn't get it. So I didn't get it when up until the moment where they throw Dodge through the door, they throw her in there.
That was kind of when
she's
I figured
like,
out.
Tyler,
like, oh, wait,
no, Tyler, no. I felt like when she screamed, Tyler, no, I didn't get it that it wasn't Dodge. But I thought, like, ooh, this might not go right. And then it wasn't until
right.
the moment where they're like, oh, Bodie, don't worry, we took care of it. And Bodie, the little kid, Bodie,
like
the little brother,
like, where's she at? I haven't seen
her. He says, are you sure it was really her? And that's the moment I was like, oh, shit, it wasn't her, right? And
right,
so
right.
I don't love that they gave us a whole, like, reverse story where we have to see stuff that happened off scene is what really happened. Like, I don't love it, but I kind of didn't hate the way they did that and showing us how Dodge, like, created all this stuff and she took Ellie
right.
away.
It's also kind of hard to, like, it probably played out, I'm sure, a bit different in the comic, and to some extent,
yeah.
you know, they're kind of translating it, and I don't know how much of it's accurate to what happened either.
Yeah.
But
I do
yeah,
feel like, sorry, I do feel like one of my favorite characters is Rufus, and one of the things I love about Rufus, so while I'm not thrilled about Ellie, because
that was
I
Ellie's
feel like
son,
Ellie's
right?
a, yes, and while I don't love that Ellie is, like, this character who's been pining for her high school boyfriend for at least 25 years, right? Which seems
yeah.
kind of ridiculous. But Ellie's got a son, and I love that Rufus, so Rufus doesn't look like Ellie. They don't resemble each other as mother and son. We're not aware that she's
that.
Ever had a husband. Like,
right.
right? Ellie's never, we don't know that Ellie's ever had a husband, or we don't know where Rufus came from in terms of Ellie having a husband or a father for him. They don't look alike. Rufus is not a, like, he's not neurotypical, like, he's got a, you know, I just love that they just cast Rufus as this character, that it doesn't really matter where he came from as Ellie's son, like, no one ever asks, like, who's his father, he doesn't look like you, he's not Boda, he's her son, she loves
it.
Him,
said it, so
he's
right.
Bodie's
yeah.
friend, he's older than Bodie, but he's his friend, he, like, no one ever, like, I just love that this show cast this character as this is who he is. We don't, no one ever, like, really asks why he's Ellie's son. He's clearly not the son of Ellie and Lucas, and no one's ever said that Ellie had any other husband or father or child, and I just
unless
really
unless he was pregnant
I love,
when he died, I guess it's possible. But,
yeah, I just love but he's, like, a very light-skinned Brit. I just love that Rufus is
yeah.
this kid that he's her son
that
and she
true,
loves him.
But I actually
but...
know someone who's white who has really dark parents,
yes.
so I think sometimes they can be.
Right.
You know, it depends
I just think
on
it's fantastic. I think
but,
it's
yeah.
fantastic blind yeah. writing and casting of, like, this is what
right.
it is.
No,
and
yeah,
I didn't
agree.
Really think about it.
It just doesn't matter.
And
it really
I love
it doesn't
that Rufus...
matter. Why does it matter? You
yeah.
know, it doesn't.
And Rufus
yeah,
plays a pretty key role in that he's friends with Bodie, and he drives some of Bodie's decisions, right? Like, Bodie's like, there's my friend and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
he might be my favorite character, Rufus, just for that.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. But yeah, there's a lot. I was going to say, the other thing that I really liked about this is that I think that there's really great visuals in the way they represent things, like how, and I know, again, that's a lot of that's from the comic books, but, like, how, you know, when they go into their head, it's kind
mm-hmm.
of like,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
their head, but I mean, it's like whatever
yeah.
it would be for them, the way they have it organized. And things
yep.
were, like, so interestingly pretty, like, I said, like, the glowing jars that have the memories, and even, like, Kinsey's memories in the little, like, candy boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just very, very interesting the way they did it, I think. And even, like, they all had their own door and stuff. Just kind of little things like that. I'm trying to think particular to another key, but I'm blanking here. But
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
if the novel
that cool.
does that, but the way like the little like Bodhi's, we talked about last week. Bodhi's mind is a arcade, and then
yeah.
Kinsey's mind is a mall. And the
yeah,
way they
yeah,
did all that was kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess
very
next
cool.
season we'll see those keys more in action. Yeah.
Yeah, and probably some more keys too. I know they added the mirror key in the flight and the matchstick key, but that's it. I don't think it's been officially renewed, but I've read that they've started filming. I don't know how accurate that is because I don't remember where I read it at. But one site had. Oh no! I know where I read that at. I take that back. It would have to be. I'm pretty sure it was in Christiane's interview. From
the
press thing.
Okay.
I was like, wait a second, that's where
you
I heard
it. You read it on
yeah,
Phantom
Access.
Yeah, I think
it said something like, I didn't listen to all the videos yet because I'm still waiting for it to send the last one because it's like over 8 gigabytes and I can't download it. I need it split. So I haven't heard all of it, but she had written in part of it that they had mentioned they were working on it. So it sounds like it's likely. I don't know that it's absolute, but at least they're getting into it. But second set of videos did go up, and hopefully the last will in the next couple days. But
I think the show is worthy of a second season.
Yeah,
I think
it's definitely
worth it. I'd like to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I'm trying to think if I think of anything. I don't know if I can think of anything in particular, other than you know people go watch the videos. There's like
yeah.
articles are up for the first or the two sets of them, and then in the third set I have a clip too of Joe Hill talking about the whole thing that happened with him. Writing a letter to work on, sending in a script to work on Doctor Who, and that not happening, and that's kind of funny. That'll
yeah.
be will be out too. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'll send a script.
It's
for
kind
Doctor
of like
Who.
A funny little thing, but
one,
that's
yeah.
in the. I decided to put all the videos up in order, so that's coming in the bigger set. All right.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think
cool.
That's about it. And I
all
didn't
right.
see anything else. The only other thing I saw is I did watch the end of the second season of The Dark, or I don't know if it's called Dark or The Dark. I think it depends on which country. But anyway. That show is so good. You guys need to watch
really?
The show. It is voiceover.
Good,
because
huh?
It's I believe in German. It's not in English. But I kind of got used to that and it didn't bother me. The story is so, I don't know, just certain things they did, not that it's anything like that, but the way they did kind of sort of a time twist in that made me think of like when we would discuss 12 Monkeys. And I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it. I think you guys would like it, but it is one that's got a lot, like even more than 12 Monkeys. Going on.
Okay.
And you kind of got to pay a lot of attention. But
right.
I like
good
that
to
too.
Know.
That's my suggestion. And then next week is Walking Dead. And also Westworld is coming. And what's the name of that?
I'm doing
I'm
a rewatch
thing.
Of Westworld, yeah.
Yeah, I need to do it too. But there's, I don't know what's called, something else where I'm blanking. It's an AMC show that also looks really good. I need to watch. But and then also the other thing that's coming is trying to see if I can find it. But the other thing that's coming is Altered Carbon, the new season.
Oh yeah,
coming.
Yeah, you like that, yeah.
And and Killing Eve's coming. I think I said April. I think that's what I said. It's called Dispatches from Elsewhere. That's the other show from AMC. Which is coming soon and I think looks pretty good. It sounds kind of sci-fi-ish. It's hard to tell for sure because all I have is a preview because I haven't watched it yet. I need to do that. But so those are some of the shows I'm kind of like, you know, looking forward to and thinking about. So, alrighty. Well,
all right.
You guys talk about Manifest. And,
all right.
And when AJ gets up time to watch that, if he does Lock and Key, then we'll see what he thinks.
I'll get to it eventually.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Y'all get to
he
be
will.
At the best
event. He
too.
Will, yeah.
Mine's going to take a while. Okay, well, have a good night, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, good night, kids. Right.
Good night, Jamie. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jamie. Good
night.
All right, AJ, sorry you had to sit through all that. I do hope that you'll
that's
watch
it.
Walking Key, and I assume Marty will. But anyway, we're on a
one
show for us.
Of watching it, just, especially with the Netflix shows, when we're all watching a Netflix show. And we have such different schedules, we don't all always have a chance to get it watched by the time
you
we
mean like your
night.
Family. It's like you and your wife and your kids, and you all got to agree to watch stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Artie and Elizabeth both want to watch it, and coordinate all three of us is difficult right now because he's in drama club, and they've been rehearsing every night until 7 o'clock. So.
So you're driving back and forth and whatever, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing
well. Being a parent, man, you can't just watch TV all the time. How annoying.
I know,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, all right.
So anyway.
All right, but you did have time to watch Manifest.
Yes.
So this week of Manifest was sort of in other shows, it would be like sort of a mid-season kind of a peak kind of thing. Like this was this brought part of the story to a highlight, which is going to play out for the next few weeks. But we had this weird, I didn't really even get part of this. Like, I felt like this story this week was very weak in the way that they drew all the passengers to a nightclub so they could drink poisoned champagne and then be blown up, right? Like the whole, like, what? Like,
well,
the idea that they could, the idea that Adrian, not even Adrian, but that creepy guy that works for Adrian,
Isaiah could draw at least
50 passengers or whatever. We only saw like 10 that we knew, but
yeah, we saw the one.
The idea that he could.
Episodes.
I just didn't really feel like Olive and TJ were nightclub people. Like, any of them were nightclub people. Like, the whole thing all of a sudden played out tonight in a way that wasn't laid out for me in the last 2 weeks.
Well,
right? It just sort of, they went there because the story dictated they should go there.
Actually, I saw it a little differently. First of all, what they were trying to make us think, poorly though, is, that the Xers were behind it. You know, because they don't reveal right away. Now, you and I have been saying for weeks that Isaiah, and that there was something not right with the guy.
Right.
So we've been saying that for weeks. And now, the problem is you can't blame Adrian, but in a way it kind of makes Ben right, which I didn't like because Ben and Grace are the worst. Isaiah's just a fucking whack job. And that's why it wasn't, we shouldn't have seen this coming other than there's something wrong with Isaiah. But it's kind of shoddily put together because this guy's just a whack job. He's a true believer.
Yeah.
And he has it in his head that, and he wants to be, and he's not an 828er. And he wants to be special like the 828ers. I get the feeling that this guy has never been special in his life. In any way, shape, or form. He seems to be a loner.
Yeah.
He's got like three jobs and he wants to be, so he's thinking that he's going to set, this whole thing ablaze and they're all going to come back again. He's got 828ers there. He's got non-828ers there and they're all going to become the nightclubbers or whatever you want to call them. They're going to come back because he's so whacked in the head. That's his thought process. And that's why it wasn't the best laid plan. I mean,
because
a lot of people that were there, he got the information from Adrian, and that's how he was able to fake, getting people there and everything, like with Ben, using Adrian's phone to get him there, and Olive and TJ being there were just, that was just because the script said they wanted them there.
I feel like I knew AJ would die. The minute that AJ said to Olive, I feel like something.
TJ?
The minute that TJ, he says to Olive, early in the episode, now I have something to live for. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to die. Like at that moment, I knew he would be dead. But him, right? He's like, Olive.
I know. No body, no dead.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah. I really agree with you that there's a problem with this whole, like, the idea that, Ben is very concerned about the Xers, and that Ben's concern is that Adrian's preaching will create more Xers. In the end, Adrian's preaching created a homegrown terrorist that doesn't believe he's the opposite of the Xers, right? Like, Adrian was a homegrown terrorist whose beliefs were not in line with, he believes that the miracle of 828, so I must kill them, as opposed to the Xers who believe, like, you're a bunch of bullshitters, so I must kill you.
No, Isaiah didn't want to kill them. Isaiah believed they'll all come back from the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Isaiah wants to be like these creators.
Yeah, Isaiah wants to live, and he can't, whereas the Xers believe, like, they're awful shit, and they're scary and whatever. Like, I get that the idea, I mean, there was a juxtaposition between the two sets of believers, and I think the idea in this week's episode was that what Adrian represents, what's his name?
Isaiah.
Isaiah represents is not what Adrian espouses, but Adrian is ultimately, it's going to be, like, we saw Adrian turn around and walk away and not, like, accept responsibility for what happened, right? And
right.
Ultimately, that's
yeah.
where we're going, is that Adrian has to accept that he's, I mean, I don't really think Michaela is right. Like, for the last 2 weeks, and Michaela has said, like, if you draw attention to us, we're going to die. And I don't think it's really about drawing attention. I think it's going to be about the wrong interpretation.
Right.
But in the meantime, how did you feel about Jared this week?
You know, I still believe he's trying
right?
to trap these guys, but
yeah.
I don't know. I felt like he, I don't know. I mean, you know what the problem is? It's the writing. The writing is so kind of all over the place that you can't trust it. It's kind of like the unreliable narrative. The entire show is the unreliable narrator because you can't trust the writers. Because they
yeah.
kind of are all over the place with Jared. I do still believe that he's, you know, even if nobody else knows it, he's undercover. I think he's doing this on his own. Because if anybody of any authority was involved in what he's doing, he wouldn't have to threaten the guy who's doing online gambling while at work to get what he wants.
Well, yeah.
You know?
And he tries to hack Michaela's password. Can't do it. He believes he knows her password. He tries to hack it. He goes to, like, steal all her records. He threatens someone. I mean, these are not the actions of a person who's legit undercover, right? Like, if he was legitimately undercover, he'd go down there and have some sort of secret password error, right? So I agree with you that whatever he's doing is not sanctioned. And I agree with you that they're trying to make it look like he's against Michaela, but in the end, he's probably, like, he came and he saved her, right? In the end, he comes there and he's
yeah.
like,
exactly.
Let me, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, does he still love her? Maybe. Does he believe her? Yes. And does he want to save lives? Yes. Right?
Yeah, and he even says as much to her when she's like, thanks for coming down. He's like, we're cops. It's what we do. You know, it's like, it's,
yeah.
There's no part of me that believes he's full-blown Xer. I feel like this is one of those situations where, it kind of reminds me of Liberate, where we agreed with their message, but not their method. And I think part of the
yeah.
problem here is Jared's method.
So could Jared
be
a full-blown Xer, but doesn't want to kill? Like, he believes in what they believe, but doesn't want to kill people. Or does he just, is he fully undercover trying to protect.
I think this is a really crappy written undercover job.
Yeah. Yeah. He's undercover ultimately trying to protect her, probably, right? Like, you gotta remember that this week Zeke and Michaela told her they said they loved each other this week. Which
yeah.
is a big deal, and it's relevant to the other storyline also, right?
Well, it's an extremely big deal since he's freezing to death.
I thought he might die in the explosion. Once they said they loved each other, I thought that's it, you're going to die. Because I've watched Lost for, like, we've watched so many shows where when you say you love each other, you die.
That was after, though.
Oh, it was after? Yeah, all right. Well,
yeah.
It could be still his kiss of death, but you're right. And
but he's dying of that,
he has the frostbite and not a burn.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't want to go to a hospital in New York City because that was bullshit that they didn't even see it, right? And is it Sanvi who sees it, right?
Yeah, Sanvi's the one that said this looks more like frostbite than a burn.
Can we talk? Well, let's set Sanvi aside because she's a problem this week, and let's set her aside. But
oh boy.
I think for Zeke to say "I love you" is maybe a sign of his death. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I don't really love. Look, I like Zeke. I don't really love Zeke and Mikaela together because I feel like, while I like them and I see them together, I feel like the show is telling me they're together. Like, I feel like the show decided to abandon the complications of Mikaela's relationship with her ex-boyfriend, and they just decided to make her all in on her new boyfriend.
Well, you know what? I don't have a problem with that because I never felt any chemistry between her and Jared.
You're right. He's
something.
A total asshole. And yeah.
But not even the fact that he's an ass. Just, I never felt any chemistry between them at all.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason I felt like that they were ever together was because the story said that they were. You know, at least Mikaela and Zeke, I can kind of, you know, we get to see the beginning. We've seen their relationship start from her saving him in the mountains and it kind of growing from there. So we've at least seen something.
Yeah.
Mikaela and Jared, we were told, hey, they were engaged. And then they, you know, he talked.
So you know, surprises me. Actually, I feel like Sanvi and Ben have had a little chemistry. And this week we saw Sanvi's past relationship. You know,
no, Alex is a girl.
I didn't really love that. I feel like we've seen like Sanvi talk about how she was in love with someone. And I was like, is it Ben? Is it whoever? And then it's a girl. And that's fine. But I felt like the show maybe was setting us up for it to be a girl, which we shouldn't really care about. The point is that it's a former colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sanvi is the most... Sanvi's so stupid, and she has involved another stranger in her top secret research, right? Like, what the fuck, Sanvi? You're the dumbest... Sanvi is the dumbest person on the entire show.
You know, I mean, keep little notes when I'm watching the episodes, the things I want to make sure I talk about. And I wrote down, Sanvi wins Idiot of the Week award again.
Like, because she injected herself with a serum, or because she trusted another stranger.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have a problem with her trusting her ex, but injecting herself again after she almost died. And you know what the worst part is?
Yes.
Not only did she not die this week, she succeeded. But she still did it again, where she injects herself, could have died, nobody else knew she was doing it, and she just got lucky that she got it right this time.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I'll be honest with you, until this week, I didn't realize what she was trying to do. She, like, cured being an 8-2-8-er. Like, that was
right?
I didn't
yeah,
that
she's
was
trying
cool.
to, like...
I wasn't even sure what she was doing.
No, I didn't either. You're right. Like, she's got all this, like, for the past few weeks, she's doing all this, like, genomic testing or whatever, and I thought she was trying to find a solution to the visions, which I didn't know what that meant, but I didn't know that she was trying to stop having the visions. Like, it became clear all of a sudden tonight that she's like, I don't have a vision, and then she's like, oh, I didn't have a vision. I couldn't help you guys. What? Maybe I was stupid. Maybe I shouldn't have stopped these callings. What? Is that your point? I thought she was trying to stop the death date. And it turns out that she stopped the callings. Like, it makes sense that Sanvi was stupid.
I think, in her mind, she thinks that by stopping the callings, they'll stop the death date, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Makes no sense at all. I mean, it's just because CNN stopped sending me messages doesn't mean there's not still a coronavirus in China, right? 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 Like somebody wants to turn off the news flashes, but shit is still going to happen. What? Like, somebody made no sense at all. And then tonight, it appears that she stopped her callings, which seems to be a really fucking bad idea, right?
Yeah.
And not at all, like,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was dumb. It was a dumb move, but I don't like Zombie. Zombie's become one of my least favorite characters for the last couple weeks. And the idea that, also I hated that, like, did you see where she, like, she's, like, taking her phone, and all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, my arm is, like, completely, like,
yeah.
Like, why? Your arm is totally swollen and whatever, and you didn't notice it, Zombie, and you, Zombie's the worst.
She has been all season.
And she has been, and they have divorced her from her close relationship was from Ben, right? She and Ben were really tight friends, and Ben has not really been with her for a while. He's very tight with his wife and child, which is fine, but I felt like Zombie was most interesting because I thought she was attracted to Ben, and I thought that was going to be the conflict. That she was attracted to Ben and that would be, you know, whatever. And now she's just like, whatever. I'm like, what? Fonzie has no connection to anybody else in the whole show. She's the worst. She's pretty marginalized.
Yeah,
the only person who's more marginalized is Cal, who has no story at all this year.
Oh, yeah. Poor Cal is here. And I was glad to see Olive back to herself this week when she told Ben to stick it.
Yes. Yeah, all of
but yeah, I don't understand that whole point with Zombie now. Like, and you know what I feel like, which I don't know. Like, we both keep saying that her and Ben seem to have a lot of chemistry together. And then
is it just the actors?
Like
do we just see the actors and the characters don't have it?
Maybe.
Or what?
Maybe, but it almost feels like that was intentional, giving Ben and her chemistry, for them to turn around and go, ha ha, she's gay. You know. Like,
oh
just, I don't know. That's what it felt like. You know? Not that
yeah,
it matters.
I felt like she
other,
and Ben were
just...
so. I felt like she was so in love with Ben and they were so clearly attracted to each other.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, my wife. And there, yeah. There's
yep.
a. Maybe a lack of. Meanwhile, they go out of their way to start with the whole, like, Zeke and Michaela and Jared thing. And, you know, but we can't talk about Jared. I mean, there's no nuance there. And Jared, I mean, I think Jared is cruising for a major character change because there's no way this goes. I just don't understand how there's any subtlety to this and how it goes in either way. Although Jared was very creepy this week. Like, Jared seemed to be aware of the bombing and let it happen. Although it seemed to be, and
well,
I don't believe that he would ever do that, right? Yeah, he would never
do that.
That's
the thing, because it turned out...
Jared would never...
It turned out not to be... Yeah, but that's the thing. It turned out to not be an Exer thing. You know, and I think that was their intention, to make us think that that's what it was when we found out it was just crazy Isaiah.
Yeah, like Jared's undercover with the Exers... So, and this bombing was inside the believers, so how could Jared ever know about it? He's not responsible for it.
Right, yeah. It had nothing to do with Jared.
It was the
believers,
yeah.
It was a ploy to make us think.
And it makes Michaela and Ben are both wrong. Like, both Michaela and Ben are like, oh, the Exers, they're the problem. And meanwhile, it's the believers who are the problem. I mean, Ben's always been nervous about the believers. And he doesn't want all to join them. But I think both Ben and Kayla, their problem with the believers is that outside, they don't really don't like the believers for what they believe. They believe that the believers create outside tension. Did that make any sense? I said the believers like 100 times in that sentence. But, right? They think they think the believers irritate the Xers in the end, right?
Yeah.
But no one thought a believer... Actually, I thought the entire storyline this week was kind of dumb, right? The idea that Adrian is a kook, and the idea that Adrian could orchestrate some scenario where he gets one, like, easily 100 passengers come to that club, right? and he poisons all the, that you could poison all the champagne. You could lock up all the doors. You, like, it was a very ridiculous plot for one man to execute. That, and I think it's set up that one man did it, that it was Adrian, right? I really, as I was watching it, I was like, wait, as I watched it, I was like, wait, why is everyone at this club? Who's coming to the club? Why would they be here? Like, it made no sense that everyone showed up at the club, except that the story dictated they would go to the club. But the idea that one man got easily 100 people to come to the club that he knew, and he was going to blow them up with poison champagne and locked doors, totally dumb. Right?
Well, again, you got to remember.
But it's TV.
This, you gotta remember,
TV, so I go with it.
This, no, not even TV. This Isaiah is not all there. He's not playing with a full deck. He actually.
Oh, right. So he's a kook. He's a kook
making
plant.
Make them,
yeah,
come
a kook plant.
Back,
yeah,
to life. He's, yeah, he's a fucking whack job.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'll give you that, yeah.
So I just have one question left about this episode, okay?
Okay.
Glowing book. Glowing book. So I want to know who let Lindelof use in the writer's room.
Yeah, I don't,
I mean, tell
love
me you didn't
that,
think Lost.
Right?
Tell me you didn't think Lost immediately.
I'm, well,
like, oh, great.
Yeah,
first
and
the glowing cave,
and kind of the
book.
Worst and a bad part of Lost. Like, the glowing book is not a good part of, it's not good. Like, glowing? What? Like, the part,
well,
of the show that we like is the government conspiracy. The magical blah blah is stupid. Yeah. It's glowing. Why is
so
it glowing?
So here's the question, though.
It's magic.
Are we supposed to believe now that this whole thing is divine?
I hope not,
because
I don't know if
I
can,
I mean,
watch it.
Well, I mean,
divine?
I mean,
no.
Well, because they, you know, the thing that they've been leading up to the past 3 weeks is that, you know, ever since the whole tarot thing, is this has happened before, and then Ben's
mm-hmm.
gets to page 3 of the book, and there's a picture of a guy carrying a woman. And there's, like, a glowing light behind them,
yeah,
and they're flames.
Yeah, that
exactly
was, yeah,
what happened tonight's episode with Ben and Olive. So, is
yeah,
this a drawing of something that happened before? Is it a prophecy? Is it something that happened before? Like, you know?
But I'd be more
and
inclined
then, of course,
to buy
light
that without the glowing thing, right? Like, the glowing light is a hard thing to accept. Like, could we,
yeah,
like, I enjoy the part of the show that's like, here's the thing. Is it a coincidence? Is it fate? Don't mistake coincidence for fate. Is it this and that? But the glow is a little bit too magical for me.
Yeah.
But that goes beyond, like, coincidence or fact or stuff falling together. A glowing light? That's, like, that's magic. That's dumb. I don't like that part. And so far, the show has not gone there, and yet will it this week, maybe?
Well, and that's been the thing, yeah, all along, is we haven't known what it is. We've never known if the government is,
yeah,
alien, is it divine. You know, that's been part of the mystery.
Yeah.
You know what the funny thing is? I've come to realize I don't need to know.
Right.
This is one of those, it's kind of like, kind of like The Walking Dead in a way, where we know in The Walking Dead, we're never, you know, you're never going to find out what started the virus. How did the virus start? Where did it come from?
Doesn't,
you know,
matter.
That's one of those things you're
doesn't
never
going
to find,
yeah,
out. It's not about where the virus started or how it came to be or blah, blah. And I kind of feel,
yep,
in a way that I don't need it for this either. I don't need to know why they came back. It's just everything that follows type of thing, you know?
Right, yeah.
I'm sure that's not how this is going to go, but...
If they're smart, it'll go that way, yeah. But in the meantime,
yeah,
we have a bunch of... Yeah. So we've got, like, a couple weeks left of this show, right? Like, 4 or 5 weeks, I think. Long time to figure out what happens.
I don't even know how much time we have left.
We have a while, so. All right. Well, anyway.
So yeah, that's this week.
All right. Okay. Well, we're about done. By the way, I've been rewatching Westworld. Holy cow. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that I'm rewatching it and to be really ready for it's coming on March 15th, right?
Yep.
I'm just really enjoying rewatching it, which is my new thing, which is why I'm not binging other stuff. So, limited time, we won't add much to the show. But anyway, just saying that I love it.
I guess that's it for this week.
All right, so thank you for I guess we're about done, right? All right, thanks. Talk to you soon. Talk to you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Have a good week. Rest of your night.
Yeah.
And we'll do it again next week and maybe have more to talk about.
All right. Good night.
All right. Good night.